And now the game where we invite on interesting people and try and hold their interest. Our guest, Jesse Klein, is a comedian you've seen on Comedy Central, VH1's Best Week Ever, most hilariously of all, CNBC. She's a former writer for Saturday Night Live. Her Comedy Central Presents special premiered last month. Jesse Klein, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So my understanding is you were not like the typical comedian. You were not like the class clown in the fifth grade. You were not performing.
Oh, no, no, no. I was like a big nerd.
I wore
big glasses, and I was very shy.
Right. And it wasn't until you were working at Comedy Central as like an executive.
Yeah.
Until you started performing.
Basically, I was always very interested in comedy, but I was much more sort of academic. And then after college, loaded with my art history degree, I decided to go work at Comedy Central as a temp.
That makes perfect sense, actually.
Yeah, no. My parents were thrilled. But no, I was working for the talent department, and I had to go see a lot of stand-up comedy to scout people. And basically, the more stand-up comedy I saw, the more convinced I became that I couldn't be as bad as the people I was seeing.
Right. You were like, my God, the bar is so low, I can simply step over it.
Yeah, oh my, if there's a low goal,
yeah,
I will try for that goal.
How did you then make the transition to performing? It's not that easy, this stand-up stuff.
You know, it's actually, I guess it's easy if you have no dignity and your boyfriend just broke up with you and you have lots of time. And believe it or not, I have both of those things going for me.
No, really?
God, most people turn to Ben and Jerry's when that happens.
Oh, believe me, there was a lot of chunky monkey being absolutely guzzled in my house at the time. But the very first time I did stand-up, I went to an open mic on the Lower East Side at a place that doesn't exist anymore. And it was one of those open mics that wasn't really just for comedy,
yeah.
By which I mean it was really more for people to, like, read poetry about their dads and cry,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of those things. So I went, and but they would do, basically, you could just go, and you would pay them $3 to go on stage.
Wow.
Yeah, which gets into the whole no dignity thing.
Not only did you have to pay, but it was so cheap.
I know. $3. It's like exactly the
Come
right
Come on, I'm
money.
Worth bribing you at least $100. So tell me about that first. So you get out there, you're going to do your... What was your first act like?
Oh, my God. It was so bad. It was very terrible. You know, most comedians go up on stage and maybe they have like a notebook, you know, with a couple of things, like some words written
yeah.
down. I had typed everything out, like, word for word,
oh,
including,
no.
including when I would say, like, and okay. Just because...
As long as you don't write in pause for laughter, that
yeah.
I think
would be... Oh, yeah, no, believe me, that was not happening. My first joke, I think it was something about, like, you know how when you're on the subway... and I had written out. When you're on the subway and the subway honks, why is it honking? I mean, what's down there, a deer? That was a joke.
No, I like that.
If you're waiting for more, I have bad news for you. There isn't more.
That was the joke, right?
$3 worth.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been worth $3 to hear that.
I know, it's awful. I was not into, like, set-up punchline. I was into, like, bad punchline, long explanation, followed by apology.
Really? Is there a danger when you're a kind of comedian, which is constantly being very funny about how unhappy your life is? Is there a danger of becoming happy? Do you have to watch for that?
Well, you know, I would say that maybe in general there is, but... you know, if you have the parents that I had, you're very safe from that.
Right. They gave you that gift. Eternal discontent.
I mean, it's a very long line of purebred anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Are they proud of you now that you're a confessional comedian?
Oh, they are so proud that their daughter who went to Vassar College to get an art history degree now tells jokes on stages all over the country. Oh, they just can't wait to get into conversations with people to tell them what their daughter does. We had a daughter, but she died.
Well, Jesse Klein, we're delighted to have you. We have asked you here to play a game that this time we are calling
Stool Ball, Rounders, Tilka Palantawa.
all of which were early names for what has become the game of baseball.
Oh, God.
And as this season gets underway, we thought we'd ask you three questions about the early history of the game, taken from the book Baseball by George Vesey. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine.
So exciting. I'm ready.
Carl, who is Jesse playing for?
Jesse is playing for Robert Perry of Seattle, Washington.
All right.
Awesome.
Here we go. First question. First things first. Baseball wasn't invented by Abner Doubleday at Cooperstown in the 19th century. That's a myth. There were actually lots of versions of bat and ball games going back centuries, including a German game called Ball with Free Station, which had what interesting rule? A, runners must skip from base to base. B, when throwing out a runner at a base, the fielder must yell, "Burned!" Or C, the batter is allowed to carry the bat with him as he rounds the bases and uses it to fend off attempts to tag him out.
Wow. God, all so believable.
You bet.
I'm going to rule out... So this was German?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rule out skipping, then.
Yeah, they're not...
That feels like too happy a mode of transportation. I'm going to go to C. The fending off sounds like that's in their wheelhouse.
Sadly, it was actually B. The fielder has to shout, "Burned!" as he throws the runner out at the base.
Oh, man.
I feel that baseball should have retained that rule. All right, you still have two more chances. The first umpire was introduced in the game in 1845. But the role of the umpire at first was a little different. What did the umpire do at that time? A, he sat at a table by the side of the field wearing a top hat and sometimes tails, ready to adjudicate any disputes. B, he held a pistol to keep anyone from attacking anyone else with a bat. Or C, he awarded points to each team for style.
I think the... Oh, God. Oh, God, this is, like, as boring as baseball. thinking about these answers, not you telling me the possible answers. I'm going to go with A, old-timey hat.
You're right.
Okay. Well
done. Thank God.
So the players were allowed to determine calls themselves, but if there was a disagreement, they'd go over and see what the guy in the hat had to say about it. All right, you can get it all. You can win it all just by getting this last question right.
Nothing has ever meant more to me. Let's do this.
Let's do this. The first great baseball star was James Creighton of the Brooklyn Niagaras, famed for his speedball pitch. His career ended suddenly in 1862 when what happened? A, he decided to quit and try to make his fortune in the more appealing new game, foot polo. B, he was caught up in the first American sports celebrity sex scandal with an avid fan named Fanny Mayhaps. Or C, he killed himself when he swung too hard at a pitch.
Wow, that question ended on a real downer.
It did.
It was comedy, 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 very grim.
Wow. I like this annotation before we get to an answer. This is great.
Yeah. I guess I have to say that my immediate gut instinct is that the answer is B, the sex scandal, because I feel like...
With Fanny Mayhaps?
Oh, shoot. I don't think I listened to the name before. Shoot.
If it's
that sultry siren.
She wasn't for Fanny.
No, she was
for
Mayhaps.
Sure. Mayhaps?
She was Fanny Mayhaps.
All right. Well, I don't think it's the downer of C. I guess A, although I don't think foot polo sounds any crazier than Fanny Mayhaps. Personally, those sound equally silly times to me. Can I just say A, B, and C?
No, you have to pick one. Pick one, be firm, go.
Did all three things happen to him in, like, one day?
He had a sex scandal, quit to play foot polo, and then took one last fatal swing.
He couldn't live with the bad press off
it
of
was
the
a,
sex scandal.
It was an interesting day. No, here we go. This is it. You have to make your final choice. Go. What is it?
I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A. That's all right. That's your choice.
I'm sticking with A.
It's C. It was all wrong. Yeah. It was C. What happened was he swung so hard that he actually caused internal injuries, and he died 3 days later. The good news, hit a home run.
Well, I mean, what a way to go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Wow, I feel like I really blew it in the last 5 minutes of this.
It was more like 10.
Amazing.
Carl, how did Jesse do in our quiz?
Well, Jesse had just one correct answer, Peter, and that's not enough to win for Robert Perry.
Oh, man. I couldn't feel more sorry and embarrassed.
That's the goal.
There you go. That's why we're here.
We all got what we came for.
We're giving you more material.
Done and done.
Jessie Klein is a comedian. Her Comedy Central special premiered last month. Jessie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessie.
Bye.